Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome Wednesday afternoon, SJS, and great to have you with us until 5 today. Vince Welsh joins us today, the outstanding reporter on the Indianapolis 500. Will join us to preview the Indy 500 today for Kevin. This is the day you have been waiting for.
I love this interview. This is where I find out exactly how much you know about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the race.
You fainted last year.
I was impressed, I must admit.
You fainted. You missed the last 5 minutes where I asked him about the 800 left turns.
No, I purposely ignored it. There's a difference.
I did not ask him that, no. But we'll talk about that today. And about nepotism on the pole. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I would stay away from that one too. I don't see that being an issue.
No, it's not. He just ran faster than everybody else.
But that was funny on Monday. I must give you. I was not expecting you to really know that Ed Carpenter was his stepfather was Tony George.
Tony George.
Yeah, I was not expecting you to know that.
Voila. But that is today. We're looking forward to that. Vince Welsh is a great guy to talk to, and we'll be talking with him. Neil Riddell, by the way, coming up on Friday from the Altoona Mirror. Also yesterday, we talked about the USGA and the RNA, the Royal and Ancient, banning belly putters as of January 1st, 2016. As I mentioned at the end of yesterday's show, we could sprinkle Kevin's clubs with water from Lourdes, and it would not make a difference. I then suggested later that maybe if we brought a Monsignor along, and then I realized that the only role for the Monsignor would be giving me last rites after you hit and try to kill me.
Yeah, but he could give you a blessing to avoid the whole process.
No, he'd look at me and said, look, stand way back here and behind the tree.
You learned your lesson.
Learned my lesson? Why don't you ask the other two guys in the group about what you did?
Listen, if had I you, can control...
I want to ask you something. Had you asked Drew Kelly or Mark Mahoney about the incident?
No. I was there. I don't need to ask them what happened.
Because you don't know what happened. You weren't paying attention at all.
I was paying complete attention to addressing the ball and where I wanted it to go toward the green.
And it ended up in the creek.
No, that one didn't.
Well, it didn't end up where you wanted it.
It did not. No. There was one that did end up in the creek, but that was not it. It was not. Unfortunately, it was not on Routes 11 and 15 either. That's even better.
By the way, if you'd like to join us for the morning flight at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on June 5th at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, we would love to have you out there. Kevin and I love to sit down, chat with you before and after the round. They have a couple spots open in the afternoon flight. We'll get an update from Bonnie Wassmer a little bit later as to make sure how this is filling up. But it's going to be June 5th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. So come on out and join us, because Kevin and I will take plenty of time to talk to each and every one of you about the show, about sports, your thoughts, and so forth, before and after. So come on out and join us, and that will be June 5th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior, $16,889. 2012 Kia Sorento 4-wheel drive LX $16,999. It's one tough truck. A 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, just $25,998. And a 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-door Sahara, $26,994. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
How I love for my Indiana home.
Jim Nabors. One of your all-time favorites. You get misty-eyed.
Send shivers.
When they sing that.
It does send shivers. You know what I look forward to more than anything in the race? The open. That's how much of a broadcast geek I am. I look forward to what ABC does with the open of the Indianapolis 500.
Okay. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I'm sure there's hundreds of people that watch this race going, oh, I can't wait to see what ABC does with the open. But that, I know that doesn't happen, well, but it's just me.
Yeah, no, from a broadcast point of view, it's a very important part.
I mean, if that open sends me shivering and sends chills, you know, for somebody who's watched the race as many times as I did, then they've done a really nice job with it. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to set the scene.
It's supposed to set the tone. I've got all Lawrence's emails on the screen here.
Did you get spammed or what?
No, I put the screen up and I have Lawrence's email.
Oh.
One was about county government, another was about the election, and one was something about bringing home Pampers. I don't know.
You're referring to the screen that you look at that allows you to see the callers.
See who the caller is.
Right,
That's my call screen.
Right.
And there's a variety of things on this call screen.
Yes, there. I'm sure there are.
Yes. But yes, we will be talking with Vince Welsh today about the Indy 500.
You know, I know last
was a
year.
Great guest last year.
I know last year he said that he felt Marco Andretti had a really good shot to win. But I really, really think he's got a good shot to win this year. I mean, I think it's a better shot this year than last year.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, he's gone through some I don't know if it's a sports psychologist or what, or how to really explain it, but he's gone through that on, you know, keeping yourself under control while driving and so forth. And I'll tell you, you've really...
It's the same guy Sergio Garcia uses? Or?
I was wondering... Well, there's several golfers have used, I understand, the same type of thing. I don't think it's the one that Sergio uses. But the point is, I've watched him drive differently than he has in the past. I mean, he's more of a... The first several years of his career was, I need to get to the front immediately. And now he's figuring out ways to, you know, be safe through the entire race and make steady moves as well, instead of just a big rush to the front and then try and hold the lead and outdrive the car.
Alan Sr. and Rick Mears.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe what? Alan Sr., how many laps in his life did he lead?
No, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe that's that might be a good... That might be a good comparison there.
You're shocked that I can talk to you about this.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I've educated you for the last year and a half now. I would hope that something would have sunk in by now.
I don't usually listen to you.
Isn't that funny? Most of the people on the program said the same thing. Yeah. Anyway. See, I just took that one away from you.
But Jim Harbaugh is going to drive the pace car?
Yes.
Really?
What's wrong with that?
Even finding about Michael Crabtree today?
What?
Crabtree, Achilles, man.
Well, the only one I heard was Heinoski had an injury today. That I did hear.
Yeah.
The reports.
Crabtree Achilles.
Well, the reports for Heinoski was that they carted him off the field.
Okay.
That was the only injury I knew about from earlier today.
Yeah, Crabtree. But, of course, Harbaugh, this has to do with the Tom Crean thing, too. It's Indianapolis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bring the Harbaughs in. And
I don't care who's driving the pace car. I really don't.
Sure you do. You care about everything.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. That's the one thing in this race that, yeah, I mean, it could be anybody driving the pace car.
You're a guy who talks about the Super Bowl for crying out loud. You're like, the fan experience. Let's say, get into the game.
There's no fan experience for the guy driving the pace car. Unless they pull a fan out of the stands, then I'm interested.
I'm just saying. Okay? Just saying.
I was listening to Dan Patrick this morning, and he said he went to qualifying when he lived in Ohio, because it wasn't that far to drive, obviously.
Right.
But he said he's never been to a race himself, but he knows people that have been, and it's like one big party with, oh, yeah, a race going on as well.
Well, that sounds like the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby.
Now, I know people that went to I know a guy who goes to the Preakness every year for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, ever since he's been able to bet on the horses. And that's exactly the way he describes it, as a party in the infield while there's horse racing going on around you.
Right, exactly. And that's what happens. That's what happens. I mean, it's just one really, really good time. A really good time.
Now, in July at Pocono, I will not be taking any time away from the race. I will be in the stands the entire time. Now, the NASCAR race, I'll hop out of the stands every now and then and walk around a little bit and get the whole feel, but not for the Pocono IndyCar 400. I'll be in the stands for the entire 400 miles.
Okay. Sounds good.
No, it's just,
I haven't made up my mind yet as to whether I'm actually going to that race or not.
No, brother.
Well, no, I have a baseball game then.
I know.
I mean, so I might go at the beginning, and then I may have to leave.
It's actually an hour away. It's almost exactly an hour away. So I'm
from where?
From my house, actually.
Oh, from your house.
Yeah,
well, I got to drive a little further than you do.
You've got about an hour and 50-minute drive. But it's about
from Pocono.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Well, what way are you going?
80?
Yeah. How long do you think it's going to be?
Well, it usually takes me an hour and 40 minutes to make it from 81 back.
Well, all right. This is another
mile marker 260.
Yeah, this is another, I think, 10 to 15 miles out from the Interstate 81 interchange.
Okay. Well.
It's about one or two exits from the Northeast Extension.
All right. Okay. Just saying, I've got to be able to.
I've got it timed out for you. I was thinking.
You do, huh?
I do. I was thinking about you.
You were, huh?
Well, the reason I mentioned it's an hour away because we're debating, is that long enough for an overnight stay? Or is it too short for an overnight
stay? For me?
No, I'm not worried about you for that.
No, I was gonna say.
I don't see you and I hanging out in the same room together and you being excited about it, all right?
I'll tell you right now. There'd be some other Marriott nearby.
I can say, hey Steve, I got plenty of room. No. No thanks. I'm good.
Well, I'm glad you got that part down.
So yeah, it is an hour. Is an hour too long? Too short of a time to have an overnight, make it an overnight stay. If you're going 2 days.
Oh my goodness! I go home and go back.
But what if you're going 3 days?
Why do you want to go 3 days? The race takes one.
Well, there's practice on the fourth.
It's on the 4th of July.
Yes,
you're going to go to practice?
Yes.
Oh,
there's practice.
I have a baseball game that day, and I also have to do the 4th of July fireworks on television that night.
Practice on the 4th, practice on the 5th, qualifying on the 6th, maybe an Indy Lights race even on the 6th, and then on the 7th is the actual race itself. It's a busy weekend, Steve.
Look, I want to speak on behalf of Drew Kelly, Sean Carey, okay, Allie Stevens, Cody Jade, Sarah Bartlett. You keep talking like this. You're going to drug test all of us.
Fusion with $3,500 plus tax and tags, 24 months, 10,500 mile FMCC lease.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is great to have you with us. Now, what's a beautiful day here, and very pleased to be joined by certainly one of the best, Vince Welsh of ABC Sports and ESPN. Vince, well, welcome. Great to have you on the show again.
Thanks, Steve. Good to visit with you.
All right, I want to talk about your particular job because, look, when I'm in a position where I'm announcing an event, if I'm doing Penn State football, Penn State basketball on the Big Ten Network, I'm always in the play-by-play spot. You're in that, okay, I have a moment, I have to, in a window, I have to come up with whatever piece of information that's going to be pertinent to make the broadcast better. How do you put that together in a short period of time and a short window to work with?
Well, I think as far as the actual delivery of it, it's actually pretty similar to the play-by-play position, I think, because you know, when you're broadcasting a live event, especially one like the Indianapolis 500 or any race for that matter, so much of what we do on pit lane is a sense of play-by-play with maybe a little anecdote attached to it. But it's an observation or it's a description of what we're seeing. And that's not unlike the play-by-play role, but it's just in a very small amount of time in a smaller window. So, you know, I think I've always felt like being a play-by-play person throughout, you know, many years of my career has helped me be a better pit reporter, because you do have to have that, you know, that skill of observation and description. I think it's a good question, though.
The next part of that, though, is that you also were assigned to certain crews.
Yeah.
How much does it take for you to cultivate a trust so that you can get certain information on the air when they do go to you and it's not that play-by-play moment?
Well, I think that is really something that you acquire over years of being around those people. The amount of time that you spend with them, not just over the years, but also during the month or during the season, during the off season, when you see them and you visit with them and you garner that trust with them and them and you, that you're there to do a job. You understand they have a job to do. You're respectful of their time and their moment, if you will, when it's not the right time to talk to them or ask a question, whether it's on the air or off the air, for you to deliver that information. So very much a trust situation. I think that, you know, it comes with experience and it comes with just being around the sport. And certainly it's one of those, and I like to use the term seat time. As a driver gets better with seat time, really I think all of us in our different positions become better with seat time, whether it's in our delivery or in our performance or in our relationships. The more you're in it and around it, the better, more solid it's going to be.
And that's why we like talking with you, because it shows every time, believe me. The next part of this is, we know it's a Penske Andretti in that 9 to start the race. I don't think anybody was surprised by that, but Ed Carpenter is the one that sits on the pole. What stuck out to you about his run and how he is set up?
Well, I think it's interesting in that you mentioned that 9, and of the 9, there were 5 Andretti's, 3 Penske's, and in this, you know, this one-car team of Ed Carpenter. But the last time the IndyCar Series was on an oval, Carpenter won the race. And, you know, when you're on a road or street course, he's not a contender. But when you're on the ovals, he is as competitive as any, and I think that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is one of those tracks where he has always seemed to run well, even when the result hasn't necessarily been indicative of how well he has run at times. So, I think he's comfortable there. He's confident in his ability. He's confident in his team. He's got a good team. He's put together good people. And even though they are a one-car team, they're a close-knit group, and in this format of car-engine combination, they've done the things that they need to do to be competitive. And I think that he's a guy that very well could be in the mix on race day, not just, a guy who started the race from the pole. I really believe he's one that can get the job done and could be a contender to win the race.
In fact, I think he's won the last two season finales on ovals, not just last year.
He won at Kentucky, right? Right, won at Kentucky the year before, correct? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's done that. Okay, in a sport that used to have all the star power, I mean, and we can run through the great names that have run here. Some people are wondering about the star power, but one of them happens to be Ilio Castroneves. Ever since he won in 9, he hasn't really been competitive, but what do you like about Castroneves this month?
He's always a contender in my mind. Now, you look at the last couple of years, he was 10th last year, 17th the year before, 9th in 2010 when he started from the pole. But first of all, he's a driver for Penske. So you know they're going to be prepared. They've got the equipment to get it done. They've got all the people in the right places. They've got crew guys over the wall that are outstanding. And the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is Elio's place. I mean, he won it the first 2 years he ran there, 2001 and 2002. Won again in 2009. Been on the pole there a few times, obviously. It's just one of those tracks, and I put him and Dario both in this category, that they seem to adapt to and always be a player. And even though Elio's results the last 2 years haven't been, I know, up to his liking, I anticipate that he's going to be right there again. It's, he's not won the championship, and he'll tell you that I'll go my career and never win a championship as long as I can continue to win the Indianapolis 500. And it's just, it's his place. It's his race. He's with the right team to do it. Penske has won more than any other team in the history of the Indianapolis 500. And I think it's just a great story. Elio and Dario both trying to win their fourth. And I know each takes great pride in trying to beat the other one to get to that spot.
And then, of course, you mentioned Dario, so might as well get to him and Scott Dixon really in combination. When you look at them, what about the target car of Dixon and the target car of Dario?
Well, they didn't qualify, obviously, as well as they wanted to. The first 10 cars in the qualifying grid were Chevrolets, and Dixon and Franchitti drive Honda. But they drove more laps on the final day of practice, or Sunday, if you will, the last time they were on the track. Those two guys together were around 300 laps. So it tells you how hard they were working to get their race cars in order. They don't focus on the pole nearly as much as some other teams. But from day one, Dixon and Franchitti, it's that Ganassi philosophy of working on their race car every day. And that's why they have a tendency to be so good on race day. Obviously, Dario won the race last year. Dixon was second. Dixon won the race in 2008, led the most laps in 2011, was runner-up there last year. And Dario has won three of the last six. So, a smart betting man is going to have some money on the fact that those two guys are going to be in the mix on race day at the Indianapolis 500. It's the most important race to Chip Ganassi, just like it is the most important race to Roger Penske. And I think that's why those two teams, they prepare all year long for the Indy 500. And that's why I don't think you can count out any of the drivers that run for those two car owners.
No question. Now the next part, there's a certain group of drivers. This track has such great history. the 500s has such great history, and there have been some that have run so well in this and have never broken through. If you're a list of, that would be like Michael Andretti, Lloyd Ruby, Rex Mays, Ted Horn. Is Tony Kanaan that kind of guy that just always seems like he's at the doorstep and can't quite get through the door?
Well, Kanaan's finished, I think, top five, five times? He was third last year. I mean, the guy's led laps after laps after laps there. He's not been able to win. Runs with that Honda power, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what they can do. I take that back. I think they're Chevrolet, right? Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see what they can do on race day, because they've not shown the most speed. They've not been flashy at all throughout the course of the couple of weeks here. They've just been methodical about their work. Kanaan is just one of those guys that even if he was having a terrible lead up into the 500, I would say you better not count him out on race day. You know, a couple of years ago, 2011, he was having one of those kind of months. He was started the race 22nd, and he ended up fourth. Last year, he led some laps, ended up third. I just think Tony is one of those guys that finds his way. He understands the patience that it takes to win a 500 miler or to be there at the end of a 500 miler. And that's, you know, it's easy to say be patient, but it's really difficult to do. And I think Kanaan has that understanding of the way the race plays out. And because of that, I think that always allows him to at least be in position. If he can avoid trouble, avoid an accident, avoid a mechanical, it at least allows him to be in position to make a play for it at the end of the race.
Vince, you just mentioned in that answer the words, be patient. Are you seeing a little bit more of that in Marco Andretti now?
I think so. You know, I think Marco is maturing. He came so close the year that it looked like he had it in the bag and Sam Hornish got him. His rookie year, 2006, Marco's rookie year, looked like he was going to win the race and he didn't get it done. He's getting better. I think he is one of those drivers that is getting to know and understand the 500 miles a little bit more. I think he's at a point in his life where he's a little bit more more mature, and he works out constantly, so he's got himself prepared physically, and I think he's getting there mentally as well, and he's definitely running with a team that has shown its wares during the course of these weeks leading up to the 500. They've been fast every day, but they've also been working on their race car every day, and I think they've given a lot more attention to that this year than they did the year before, which is, I think, encouraging for that team that they've still managed to be fast and have that speed, even though they've been working on the race car. So it's an indicator that they should have fast race cars on race day. Is he ready to win? I think if he's in the position to do it, he can do it. And I definitely think in that team, I would put him third on that list of the Andretti team to win. I think Hunter Ray and Hinchcliffe and then Marco, but I definitely think Marco is capable of winning the Indy 500. He's at that point in his career that he is able to do it, I believe.
And those are the next two guys I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about Hinchcliffe first because, you know, he's had a really good month. He's got that combo Andretti-Chevy deal going. What puts him in that category among the Andretti group that gives him a shot?
He's good. He is really good, and he's got a real understanding of the car. I think he's got an understanding of the way the race plays out. He always seems to be fast. He qualified front row last year, finished sixth, so led some laps. So he knows what it's like to run up front. He knows what it's like to go the 500 miles. He's won a couple of times already on the circuit this year. And, you know, he can do it on the oval just like he can do it on the street and road courses. So he has that confidence. And, you know, nothing brings confidence like winning races. And having won two of the four, he comes in very confident right now. And I spent some time with him a few evenings ago, and he's just at a really good place. And I think he's comfortable and he's confident with that team. And he also has the engineer that he worked with at Newman Haas for a long time. And those two are really on the same page. And I think that's a big difference maker for Hinchcliffe this year.
And you mentioned Ryan Hunter-Reay before as well. I believe the last American winner is Sam Hornus Jr., I think in 2006. Mm-hmm. I think I'm correct about that.
Yeah.
Ryan Hunter-Reay's record at Indianapolis is not great, but he's the defending series champ, and he's got the Andretti Chevy thing behind him as well. What do you think about his odds in this thing?
Well, you know, not great, I think, is an understatement. What's he been, 27th, 23rd? Yeah. 18th, 32nd. The best year was his first year, 2008, when he finished sixth. But he's also been involved in a couple of accidents, had a suspension failure last year. So he's had trouble just getting to the 500 miles. In fact, only once in the 5 years he's run the race has he actually run the 500 miles. So that's been the biggest issue for Hunter-Reay, is just getting to the end. And if you don't get to the end, you're not going to be in position, obviously, to make a play for the win. So, but I think that Ryan, kind of like what we talked about with James, and the fact that he's won a race this year, he's the champion, so he has that ease and that confidence about him. And, you know, confidence just means so much. And that team is just really on the same page, too. And I think, you know, he and Michael work well together. Michael Andretti handles his strategy. And, you know, that team is in a really good place. When I say that team, I mean Andretti Autosport. And it seems like they've got the right people. And a lot of teams have the right people, but sometimes they don't have them all in the right places with the right drivers. And it seems like with this group, they do. And I think that's why Ryan Hunter-Reay is going to have a breakthrough performance as far as the 500 is concerned. Obviously, he's won races, he's won the championship, but he's never really had that breakthrough performance at Indy, and I think he is on the verge of doing that on Sunday.
Can't count out any Penske driver, so Will Power is one of those guys. He's actually kind of gone backwards in terms of finishes in recent years, but your thoughts of the kind of team he has assembled and put him in a spot?
Well, I think that Will is the man to beat when you're on the road and street courses, and he's obviously better than most on the ovals because he's just so talented. But I don't think he has the confidence on the ovals that, in fact, I'm confident that he doesn't have the confidence on the ovals the way he does on the road and street courses. And I think he'd probably tell you that, too, in an honest moment, that he would say that, you know, he's still not quite 100% there yet. That doesn't mean that he can't win the 500, because I believe he can. But, you know, anytime you talk about a road and street course event in the IndyCar Series, I think you've got to talk about the guy you must beat is Will Power. That's not the case on an oval, in my opinion, when you're discussing Will. But I think that he is certainly in one of those racers that can win the race. And that's a pretty lengthy list this year, in my opinion, when you look at the entry list. And I would certainly put Will in that category. He hasn't had a good finish at the 500 the last couple of years. But I think if he runs all 200 laps, you're going to see him be in the top five.
We've talked often during the course of this interview about oval racing. Yes, somebody who knows Indianapolis inside and out. What makes the track special for racing and quality racing, and where are the key parts on the track that you think actually determine the race?
Well, I think it's interesting in that when you're talking about the Indianapolis 500, it always seems like weather is a player. You know, we've been through some really hot days, and we've had some cool days. Teams have to set up their car for the weather that they're going to face in certain situations. You can change your wing angles and so forth, but there's also parts of the car that you set up in relation to the weather conditions that you might face, whether it's the ambient temperature, the humidity, whatever the case may be. It looks like it's going to be a good day for racing here on Sunday with temperatures in the low 70s. The wind always seems to play a role at Indianapolis. All four four corners, when you look at the racetrack from above, it looks like all four corners are the same, and in reality, all four are different. It's that first turn is treacherous, but you know, there are so many places on the track, depending on, because the track is so big and because all four corners are different, that your car may handle at one end of the track or in turn one, but it doesn't handle so well going into turn three or vice versa. And I think that there are so many different intricacies in running this race at this racetrack because of its size, because of the different weather that you might face over the course of a 3.5-hour race, because of the way the wind might be blowing, because of the other 32 competitors that are out on the track. There are so many intricacies that go into the race, and then it's 500 miles. So is your equipment going to hold up? Is it, you know, are you going to make a mistake during the pits? In the pits, you make more pit stops at this race than any other, so it's more opportunity for the guys that are coming over the wall to make a mistake. And those are the kinds of things that when you look at them, there's so many opportunities for something to go wrong that it almost, you know, it's almost the guy that has that perfect day or catches a break or gets lucky. You know, at one time last year, Dario was at the back of the field and some because of a mistake and ended up making his way back up through to win. So that's not a very common occurrence, but it can happen. And it's amazing when you talk to racers about, you know, I just had this conversation with Rick Mears earlier this week, and we were talking about the four wins that he had, but he recounted three other races that he felt like he should have won and why he didn't. And I found those conversations and those examples to be all, you know, as interesting as the four races that he did win. And it just goes to show that you can be the best, as Mears believed he was in those three races that he did not win, and still not win. And if you're around racing long enough, I know you're familiar with it, that the best and the fastest doesn't always win on that given day, and that's what makes racing, in my opinion, the sport that it is.
Yeah, incredible. Vince, with great admiration and respect for your work, we appreciate the valuable time you gave us today and the insight.
I always enjoy talking to you, and I know that we're all excited about a great race at ESPN and ABC, and we're very excited to be able to bring the biggest one of the year to the people that are at home watching it, and I hope everybody enjoys it. I think we've got a great show ahead.
I know you do. Thank you so much again for your time.
All right, Steve.
Vince Welsh, what a great job he does for ABC, ESPN. To me, you know, he talks about he turns it into a some play-by-play work down in the pits, and you can hear it when he does it, but there's much more to it. He cultivates his source as well. That's why you get good, solid information on a race and why you can tell the ease with which he handles each question with us. Top of the hour coming up, news, and then in the next hour, complete Kevin Herr analysis of the Vince Welsh interview.
Sorry, I was just talking to him for a few minutes. I was just exchanging ideas and things.
I can see the screen. He's not on.
No, he's not on anymore. I left him go early.
News is next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.